Hello and welcome to a special edition of the In the Money Players Podcast. This is our show for Tampa Bay Derby Day. Very excited to be working with our friends at Tampa Bay Downs this year. And we've got two great guests to go over the back end of this card. We'll start with the man who was on the last time we were talking about Tampa Bay. He gave out some winners, as he typically does. And hopefully we're going to keep that success moving and grooving this time around. I'm speaking of a man who is known as a horse player, a horse owner, had a ton of success in the game lately. He is known amongst friends as Double R, based, I think, on his resemblance to a famous cartoon character. But his real name is Rich Averill. Rich, what's going on?
Not too much. Just hanging out on a beautiful hot Friday in sunny Florida.
Pretty nice. Will you be actually are you taking a break from your golf tour to attend the races tomorrow, or will you be playing the races from the links?
Yeah, I'll be there.
Nice. Good stuff.
Yeah, I'm going to be in attendance.
Excellent. The other man we're bringing in, one of the most popular guests we ever have on this network. He is a new Hall of Fame horse player, a very deserved designation. He's also been a professional horse player for a long time. And always a welcome guest on these airwaves. Speaking of Duke Matisse, Duke, how are things?
Pete, everything's good. Finally got rid of some rain out here, so we got a sunny day as well. So looking forward to some better weather and some better racing.
And you're getting ready to head out of town to go to Vegas to accept that honor. Your emotions upon hearing that your peers had elected you to the NHC Hall of Fame?
Yeah, it's pretty exciting when you get voted in by the people that are in the Hall of Fame and the people that are playing. So it was it's a good honor, and I love the tournament, so it's very special, and can't wait to get it on next Thursday.
I'd love to see another big performance.
You mean play dice, right? That's what you mean, right, Duke? You mean you can't wait to get to the Vegas and play some dice?
The craps helps for sure.
You guys will be singing at a table at some point. That's a certainty.
Yeah, for sure.
Let's dive into this card on Saturday, guys. Why don't we start? Actually, I'll throw it open in case anybody has anything in the first five races. I was planning on just focusing on the stakes portion of the card, starting in race number six. Rich, did you have anything early that you wanted to throw out there, or are you happy enough to start with the challenger?
I looked at it. It looked pretty chalky early. The only horse that I thought that could had a little bit of value, I'm sure Duke probably has the same horse, but in the fifth race, Navarra, Brandon Walsh's horse. So, I mean, this horse, I like Brandon Walsh second time out, and he usually is, in my opinion, a better turf trainer than a dirt trainer. I mean, he trains our Callie Kim as well. So, that's all turf, but, this filly is the sister, to a horse called Stanton, however you say it, and
yeah,
who won the Arlington Million.
Yep.
So I just thought that horse was interesting at 8-1. Just giving the horse a race probably the first time out, and then now took money on the dirt sprinting, and then now with the with being a half to that monster, I just thought that at 11-1 with a couple of Chad Browns and Graham Motions and Delacours and everybody in the race that. I thought that horse could be some value.
Feels like one that could.
And getting blinkers, so there's a bunch of angles in there that I like. Family and blinkers on and second time Walsh. So
love it. That dam was a good race mare herself. That's number 11, Novara, in race number 5. With that idea for the early card mentioned, why don't we move on to the stakes portion of the card, starting with that challenger we mentioned before, Grade 3 action. Going a mile and a 16th, just a short field here and not a lot of pace signed on, leaving maybe Skippy Longstocking in an advantageous position. Duke, can we take on Skippy Longstocking, or is the pace angle going to be too much?
Well, if Skippy Longstocking comes back to any of his prior races, he's going to win because he's got the pace advantage and the class advantage. But that's a big if coming off at ease in the Pegasus World Cup. So I'm not sure what happened there. And Rich might be able to enlighten some of that because he has horses with Safi. But it's the race goes through him. If he's at all himself, he's a winner. And the rest of them are just running for second money. And that might even be chalky. I think Dynamic One is probably the perfect horse to just come running late to get second. So if on paper, it looks pretty simple, but you never know.
Do you have anything at a price to maybe throw in there? Or do you think you'll just focus on the other races and maybe have a token kind of a 3-2 in here?
Well, Sherlock's Jewel, since it's gone to the dirt, has been pretty impressive. But, that's a two other than. Now he's got to go against horses like Skippy Longstocking. That's a big jump in class. I mean, he'd be my third choice. But I think Skippy Longstocking, as long as he's healthy and looks good, I think he's going to be about 3-5 and probably just go wire to wire.
Yeah. Rich, do you have any intel about what might have happened with Skippy last time? And do you see the race the same as Duke does?
No, I didn't hear. Who did you say would be your third choice, Duke?
He went with
Sherlock
the four.
Jewel, the four.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to use Fletcher. I don't think I'm not going to use him. But I'm probably going to single the three in my stuff. I thought that was the most logical horse. No, I don't have any rhyme or reason on what happened. I actually did call Safi today, to try to get some inside scoop, and he didn't answer. So, the only other horse that I thought maybe – had a chance if that horse is in fire would be the four. And the horse is 2-2 at Tampa, horse is 2-2 on the dirt. At a little bit of a price. So I don't know why it took him so long. I know Duke's not a fan of like these guys putting these horses always on the grass and never running them on the dirt, but finally put this horse on the dirt and wins two races. So I think that horse has got to be in at the four. Sherlock's Jewel
will be tested for class, but definitely seems interesting. Be curious to see how they adjust or if they adjust in terms of running style. Just looking at pace figures might be a little farther back than typical, but certainly looks like one if the favorite stubs the toe once again could get in there and do something interesting at a price. Let's move to more stakes action in race number 7. We've got the 3-year-olds going on the turf at a distance of a mile in the Columbia Stakes. We've got a field of 10 signed on in this one. Rich, let's keep this with you for your thoughts.
So in this race, the horse that I'm going to go with is the 10, Fulmino. I really like this horse a lot. I think that this horse ran on the turf early on, obviously ran in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. And then they got, it looks like they got Derby fever and wanted to run on the dirt to try to, Derby Dreams. It looks like Starlight owns the horse. So that's probably, that's what they like to do. So Jack Wolf. But you go back to some of these 2-year-old numbers for this horse. I thought, now the horse is a 3-year-old, throw away those dirt numbers. I think the horse is better on the grass. And, that's who I like the most. So I thought that's who I'm going to key is the 10. And then, was going to use the 3, Move to Gold. And I like the 9, Tok Tok. And then just one little interesting horse that I was going to throw in as a bomb is the 2, Rose Collector. This horse hasn't run in a while, but, one first time out at Monmouth, ran 2-year-old numbers is okay, but this horse is bigger, stronger, and you get rid of Lane Lovely and put on Tyler Gaffalione. I think it's a big jockey upgrade. I just thought maybe this horse at 30-1 could possibly hit the board.
Yeah, I could see it. I mean, that was a stake at Kentucky Downs and did sort of move in the middle. Obviously something went wrong that day to be off for 181 days, but that allows you to build in some of that potential figure improvement for age. I could see it under the right kind of ride by Gaffalione in that spot in a race that does look like it might have some pace.
Sometimes they just don't like Kentucky Downs. It's a really, really weird, weird course. So, you either love it or hate it. There's not really anything in between. So, it was, at 30-1, there's an angle or so there that thought was all right.
Yeah, 10 with 3.92 for Rich in this one. Duke, how about you? Are you with this Fulmineo as well, or you want to bring some others into the party?
I wish Fulmineo drew a little bit more inside, because I'm not really big on outside post on the grass, but I like Fulmineo. I think everything says go today. Like, I think that Rich mentioned the dirt races, I think, were just dreams. And you go back to the turf racing that this horse has done and Pilgrim, and you just look at you know, the class in the Breeders' Cup. You just got to think this horse is meant to do well in here. He's still got to beat Tok Tok, though, who's also in the Breeders' Cup, the 9 just to his inside, who's no slouch. So, I mean, I think it's 9 and 10 as for me on paper, but I worry when I like outside posts on turf. So it's kind of one of those races where I'm not going to stick my neck out too much, but 9 and 10 would be my 8 horses. And I think Rich mentioned some things about the 2 that are, I think, for a bomb, I think that's, you know, nothing wrong with them. I'm not big on the Chad Brown horse. I think that day that there was a big pace in front of him, and that race hasn't been very productive. So I'm trying to beat him a little bit. So I think there's the value if we can beat Chad Brown, the number 3.
Trying to leave Move to Gold out of the mix. Any other numbers you wanted to sort of number check for potential underneath uses, or really just more about messing around with the 9 and 10 and maybe trying to feather the 2 in a little bit?
The 4 and 7 both have chances. 7's done nothing wrong on the grass. Might be a little cheaper. And the 4 has a little bit of braiding on the mom side. The mom was a pretty good grass horse, and it ran good on the poly. So they would be the 2 that I would maybe throw in as like C-level type horses.
Gotcha. All right. Makes sense. Makes sense to me. Let's keep it moving and grooving with race number 8. Where we've got this handicap going 7 furlongs on the dirt for fillies and mares, and a field of 10 attracted. We've got a fairly strong favorite on the morning line anyway, in the form of Sterling Silver. Duke, are you with or against her?
I'm definitely not against Sterling Silver. She's definitely the class of this field. She's back on Lasix too, which I think could be interesting. You might hear me mention that these horses go on and off Lasix when they're in these stake races. So this horse, if you look back about 5 back, she was on Lasix at Saratoga and ran a pretty good figure that day. Going, has been training with really good horses, and they're looking like they're trying to, you know, get this horse ready for one big race. It seems like, I mean, it's a 7-year-old mare that Todd gets somehow, and Rapoli owns it. I think that horse is geared up to run a big race here. And a bomb that I'm going to give you is a 6 horse. Hi, hello, how are you? I've been against the track last time, was on the rail when we had the rail no good that day. And it just seems like a horse like this can get, you know, in the money, maybe 2nd or 3rd in a race where I think the pace might fall apart a little bit. So 1.47 or 1.46 for me.
I definitely take that point about the way the pace looks to be shaking out there, and definitely the 6 runner looks like one that could absolutely get a piece of this horse. Is in rock solid form, and the race might be run to suit. Rich, how about you? What numbers do you have here in race 3?
So, I'm against the 1. I'm not going to have the 1 on any tickets for me. So, Tampa's a funny track. I've said it many a times, and the 1's worst race ever was at Tampa, probably in the same race. So I'm not going to use the 1. The 1's going to be down the rail. I don't think the horse has enough speed to get position. I just don't think the horse is going to get a good trip. And the horse's worst race is off a layoff at Tampa. So doing the exact same thing. So 8 to 5 morning line probably goes off even money. I'm out. I'm not going to have anything to do with the 1. I really like the 4. As Duke mentioned, this horse is working against monsters. It's a trainer change. Sometimes trainer changes, you know, things, you know, somebody figures out something that somebody else couldn't. And, you know, Pletcher gets a horse. It's like Rapoli's the owner now. Horse is 7 years old. You know, they must like this horse. I mean, they're supposed to, at 7, you're supposed to breed. This horse has got black type. somewhere, you know, won some stakes races. So, I mean, you're supposed to, with Rapoli and all his stallions and everything, he should, you know, have been, you know, this horse should be bred, and it's not. So, you know, and then maybe they think they're going to get some, you know, some better graded type or whatever, but with who this horse is working with, and then, you know, and those numbers that those horses are running, comes out of a key race last time. I'm going to be all over this four and be trying to fade the one. And then it's basically going to be, you know, four or all for me, but I'm going to take a pretty strong stance with the four on in this race because I don't like the one.
Strong opinion. I get your point. Yeah, it does look like it was this exact same race last year. Similar layoff for Sterling Silver. Didn't perform that day. And you guys both make good points about the forerunner, Chitara. It is very unusual that she's out there. And quite possibly, given who's calling the shots, they're there with for a reason. So we'll see how it plays out.
And I'm scratching out of that race. I'm the eight. I'm scratching, by the way.
Okay, that's good info. That's good info. You find another spot, or
yeah, there's another. There's another race in the book. I don't know. Bennett, he's in fantasy land sometimes with some of these entries. So I don't know. I think they told him it's gonna be like five or six horses, and then all of a sudden there's like ten. So I don't want to run him.
Okay. So we'll wait to see that one another day. Let's go to race nine, the Hillsboro Fillies and Mares going a mile and an eighth on the turf. Grade two action in this one. Rich, we'll start it off with you.
I was on three horses in this race. I like the one, the seven, and the eight. So, I mean, the one is the better of the two, in my opinion, of the Chad Browns, even though it's higher morning line. And then the seven is Delacour, you know, comes out of the Queen Elizabeth Grade One local horse. You know, they've probably been pointing for this race, you know, since the beginning of the meet. And then the eight with my guy Gaffleone, well, maybe the horse, you know, last time might have possibly needed the race. So, I was going to use those. I was going to use those three. No strong opinion on who I like, but I think I'm going to try to fade the two and use the one, seven, and eight.
Keeping it fairly logical there, trying to oppose market segmentation, who, to be fair, has done her best work when she's been able to control slow paces, essentially. That's not the situation here. So I can understand you wanting to take her on, even though she does have that impressive overall 5-for-8 mark. Duke, how about you? Are we being a cavalier in taking on market segmentation, or are you
Not in the boat with you guys. There's not a lot of pace in this race. I don't see a lot of pace, and I don't know where it's going to come from. So I was 2-7 because I thought the 2-7 would be up on the pace, and the one who has no speed whatsoever is going to end up probably last. I don't particularly like the scenario for the one, and the eight's got the outside post, and Shireen's better off with a layoff. So I'm kind of fading the one and eight. I'm going with 2-7 in a paceless race where I think they just might walk right around the track. I just don't see it anywhere else where the pace can come from. So I know how a lot of these turf races at Tampa, they just don't pass when there's no pace in the race. And this looks like one of them.
I was hoping Elusive Princess would be good enough to, like, at least make market segmentation's life difficult there. And then maybe Camacho would get aggressive on a Beechnut Trophy, just looking at pace figures, to maybe at least put a little bit of pressure on Ortiz to not just be sitting there breathing down their neck. But it'll be interesting to see how it plays out on the track. Did you have any others you wanted to mention, or just 2-7?
No, just 2-7. Hopefully it's a slow pace. One of those turf races where I get a merry-go-round, and probably a little lean on the two because he's got an inside post.
We have
the two
seen that
the,
movie
the
before.
Also
that's
work,
for sure.
You notice Let's the move. Workouts. I don't know if they mean anything with Chad Brown, but every time the two works, he works with the one, and obviously he's probably a little quicker, but she outworks the one almost every time she works. So I don't know if that means anything to anybody.
It's interesting. I mean, he does work horses in an unusual way, but I mean, in terms of he seems to want them to kind of all finish up together and holds onto them for a long time. But I mean, hey, if they, it, head to head and one's finishing better than the other, it might mean something. We'll have to see. Are you persuaded at all, Rich, to maybe think a little bit more about market segmentation based on Duke's case? Or are you sticking to
your I mean, you know, sometimes when I handicap, I don't, you know, I'm not the biggest pace guy. You know, I kind of just look for, you know, my angles and horses. So, I mean, everyone has their own way to handicap. So I'm not, which is all to mine, but you know, Duke definitely makes, there is not a lot of speed. So, I mean, but as far as like two outworking the one, I don't take anything consideration of that because I mean, the two is faster than this horse. I mean, early on, this horse is faster. Like it's going to take the one time to, so the one is probably just not a good workhorse. So I don't take any consideration. Right. I just don't think the two is good enough. I just think that other horses have better, you know, I just don't think the two is good enough, but I could be wrong.
We'll see how it plays out on Saturday afternoon. And the stakes action continues with the three-year-old fillies in the Florida Oaks grade three action. Mile and a 16th, big field of 12. Duke will throw this one, throw the ball in your court and see what you do with it. How are you going to approach this race?
Well, I got a lot of contenders here. There's a couple I like better than others. I'll start with the 11 dynamic pricing. Super impressive. This horse was the first time it ran and then came back off a layoff, and Chad hadn't been doing as, you know, as great as he, you know, he's starting to turn it up a little bit. So I think dynamic pricing is a set for a big race. I like, also like the five. I don't have no idea what the name is. You can take a guess at that.
I looked at it and now I'm forgetting. I looked this up at one point and it was one of my worst pronunciations ever and I learned it, but I've apparently killed that brain cell since. I'm going to go with Wakasu.
Okay. Wakasu ran pretty, I mean, ran unbelievable race last time, got left and was really wide. I'm not sure, you know, I guess Ozara was won the race, so it had to be a pretty good race. I didn't really see the race that day, but I watched the replay, and I couldn't believe how good Wakasu ran in that race. So he was my second choice. And then I had horses like the one, Poolside Slim, who has never been out of grass, but has got all grass breeding, all Ireland, sire Ireland mare. So hard to believe that horse wouldn't take to the grass. The six, Austere. Brandon Walsh off the layoff, Tyler DeFleon, got to be used coming out of the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Race. And the 10, the other Chad Brown, the IRAD, is riding, comes out of a two-year-old race in Saratoga that was pretty decent race. I know the figure isn't much, but that's back in September as a two-year-old. So if they go forward like they usually do, she should fit in with these. So I got about five horses that could win. I'll throw it over to Rich.
Yeah, I thought this was one of the most wide open races of the day. You know, you're going to have to spread here. Probably have to use, I mean, Chad probably wins this race almost every year. So you probably have to use, you know, both of his horses. Just some thoughts. I mean, I started with the five. You know, I thought five is coming off of, you know, second off of a little bit of a layoff, you know, in my opinion, has a bullet work two back. So I think this horse is probably sitting on go. Six, I actually talked to Walsh about this horse. I didn't really, you know, he didn't say anything. You know, he said the horse is fine. I just didn't get that, you know, sometimes I can read between the lines. I'm not saying he was trying, he said anything, but I just didn't get a warm and fuzzy feeling that, you know, that this horse is, you know, he's like, yeah, the horse is working okay, but the horse never works. You know, this horse has been a pleasant surprise, you know, that, you know, they didn't really know, you know, the horse would turn into what, it, you know, it is. So, you know, not working good is probably what the horse has not been doing at all. So, seven, I feel like you got to use the seven. Eight, I thought was an interesting horse. First time the horse went long, it won. I really like that. I think it's a challenge for a horse to go two turns for the first time and to win impressive. I thought that was special. 10 is the other Chad, the other horse that I thought 10 and 11 are the two Chads. The other horse I thought was interesting is the 12. I mean, if the 12 runs the race, you know, that it did on the Poly two back, and I hate betting Cassie. but if that horse runs that race, I mean, that horse is probably going to win this race. Like I said, I hate Cassie, and I'm not a big Gallardo fan either. But, you know, the horse does
Tell us how you really feel, Rich.
The horse did lose to the best three-year-old filly in the country last time, too. So.
We are big Harper Rose fans around here, for sure. But, no, that's a good point about that synthetic run.
You
know,
throw out the dirt race and just put the horse back on the grass. Or put it on the grass because, I kind of think, you know, similar poly grass are kind of the same. So, I think we all agree that Cassie's better on the grass and poly than he is on the dirt.
I think the numbers would back you up on that one for sure. So very much of a spread and survive kind of race for both of you guys. I'm not hearing a ton of strong conviction, but you know, I mean, the horse that you both mentioned a couple of prices in here. When you have a race like this, Duke, where you've got so many different horses eligible to win, would you be tempted to construct wagers, sort of messing around with a horse like the one poolside with Slim, and then using the other contenders, or do you not even feel that strongly, and it would be more a case of playing horizontals and just using a whole bunch of them, maybe betting them for slightly different increments depending on the prices?
This is the problem with 2024 racing. You know, horses like the one that are 15-1 sometimes go off about four. Is what I mean. So you just don't know what you're going to get. I think that one will be 15-1, but you just don't know anymore. The way the odds change so late in the game. And I think what I'll end up doing in this race, as long as the 5 is more than 6-1, I think I'll probably key the 5, which again, he could be 6-1 going in the gate and end up 3-1. So that's a big problem we have with horse racing nowadays. But I just think the 5, the way she ran last time, I just think 8-1 is a gift. So, I mean, I definitely would key off her and spread. And then horizontals, I'm going to have like levels of horses I'll use. I'll probably use 5-11 on top. I'll probably use 1-6-10 next. And then, you know, if I need more, it was one horse I don't think we mentioned at all. It was the 9 Dancing and Dixie, the other Cassie. That horse was in the same race as the horse that I like, Wakasoo. That horse ran into trouble down on the rail late in the race. So I think that horse, I don't think she can win, but I think she can get in the trifecta. So just worth mentioning.
Yeah. Throw that one in as well. What about you, Rich, in terms of sort of grading these horses into A's and B's, or is it more of a just throw it against the wall, see what sticks situation?
I mean, I'm just going to probably, you know, spread in the pick fives and pick fours. So, I have horses earlier that I'll probably key on. So, I mean, I don't know if I'm, you know, I don't know if I'm going to bet the race or, you know, it probably depends, you know, how I'm doing or whatever. So, five is probably, Duke's probably, you know, on the money with that horse, on keying it, you know, especially if you can get that value. I mean, as far as 8-1, and I think that's a pipe dream, but, you know, that's definitely at 8-1 is the horse you're probably supposed to key, as you know, people say value.
Yeah. I mean, I think I don't think you'll get 8-1. I agree. But I mean, there's so many horses that have to take money.
I'm going to guess 9-2 would be my guess.
That's good over under. That feels very much on the nose to me. Let's talk about the race that gives the day its name, guys. Tampa Bay Derby, grade 3 action for these 3-year-olds going a mile and a 16th. There were rumors about maybe some of the bigger names showing up in this spot after all those scratches last week. In the end, that didn't happen. To me, on paper, it looked very much of a match between a runner like No More Time, who was the victorious last time in the Davis, and Domestic Product, who outran his odds in his comebacker in the Holy Bull. I'm curious to know, Rich, do you think it's between those two, or do you think we can pull in something at a bit of a price?
Well, I'm a big, you know, big trip over the track, you know, guy. So I think that it means a lot if you can get, you know, a race over the track. So, I mean, like Fletcher with the one, you know, he brought the horse, broke his maiden. You know, he knew what he's doing. This is what he pointed for all along. And when trainers point for a race, I think they usually get the best out of a horse. I think horses sometimes don't run their best races when, you know, owners or they, you know, do something different to try to make a race. But when you just, you know, set the calendar and you point for a race, you know, all systems go, you're in that race. I think that that means a lot. And I think that that's what they, you know, I think that's what they did with, you know, the one Pletcher did, Hardened, and also what Chad did with, you know, the four, Good Money. So I'm going to use those two horses. I'm probably going to key off of the five Domestic Product. Now the seven is a horse that, you know, I'm not taking my own advice, Trip Over the Track, but you know, this horse, I think got an easy lead last time. And they take Paco off and they put Castellano on. Now, I mean, everyone knows that Paco is a great front end rider. He's probably the best, and it's not even close. So now Paco's off and they put Castellano, which, you know, Paco can get more out of a horse on the front than anybody. I mean, I've used him, I've known, I've seen it. So not saying that Castellano is awful at it. I'm just saying I think Paco is better. So I just don't think this horse is going to get as easy a lead as last time. And a little inside info, they spun Paco like day of. So the owner, you know, it's hard to root for somebody to just bang somebody like the day of. Like I talked to the agent. He said that, you know, they were supposed to ride the whole card. They took off at Gulfstream and they're supposed to ride in. The owner, you know, last, you know, right at the draw was like, oh, we're going to ride somebody else. So that's bad karma. And I believe in karma. And so I'm going to, you know, probably root against the seven and hope that he doesn't get the easy trip that it got last time. I'm probably going to key the five and then, you know, use the one and the four underneath.
Who do we think is going to go with No More Time Early? Looking at pace figures, Good Money with Erad is a contender to potentially do that, especially since, you know, Chad Team Tactics also having Domestic Product in there. Maybe one of the long shots, a runner like Ever Do It might be able to go out there. But I'd kind of like to see the pressure on No More Time
Hope Grand Mo the First is coming out of, you know, is coming out of a 7/8 race. So, I mean, that horse, as far as the pace goes, you know, can put pressure on that horse. I mean, I think the one is going. I mean, the one has to go. What is he going to do? Sit back and rate? I mean, I think the one is just going to go right, just, you know, send right from the beginning. I mean, it's Tampa. You got some of these knuckleheads out there that aren't right. I mean, the two could go. Like, somebody's going. Like, I don't think the horse can get that easy of a lead. But yeah, I mean, the four could put pressure on. I just don't think that the seven is going to get, you know, I mean, you see, I don't think the seven might not show as much speed. Paco go put these horses in loose reins in the back of the chute and run around. And I mean, they come out of their guns a-blazing. So I'm not saying Cathlon can't do that. I'm just saying Paco gets more out of, I mean, just look at the horse. The horse has never been on the lead. Paco gets on a bang, horse on the lead.
Yep. I wonder if putting Castellano up signals that they don't want the lead today, that they want to try to rate and do something different. Because if you wanted to go to the lead, that would make that a particularly strange jockey change. But we know, you know, present company excluded, we know how horse owners can be with some of the
– I just think
sometimes when they decide to get involved,
you know,
they just
Paco's riding that Orsino horse. So, I mean, I guess that's the owner's excuse. Like, oh, you already got a Derby horse and blah, blah, blah. It happens all – I mean, these guys ride all these horses all the time and then they pick their Derby. So, I mean, I wouldn't have – you know, didn't it happen with like Saez last year or something, in the Preakness or whatever. Saez rode, what's the Good Magic that won a Derby? Mage. He won Mage and then rode somebody else or something, didn't he? Or he rode two, or, you know, I can't remember, but it, you know, you just,
there was some spinning. There was some spinning
in the Travers. Maybe it was in the Travers.
I don't know if it was spinning or just Travers. Yeah, he didn't want to commit, or I forget. There was a whole story about it. As with these things, so often it can be very, you know, hard to interpret all the various musical chairs. But when you have the information, you know, straight like you just gave it to us there, it is. It certainly is interesting to consider, though day in, day out, jockey musical chairs can often put you away as well. Duke, let's bring you back in to get your thoughts on this situation in the Tampa Bay Derby. What direction are you going to go?
Well, I mean, domestic product is the horse to beat, number five. I just think he matured last time and showed that he could actually come from off the pace. The one time that he won, he kind of just stalked and beat, you know, lesser horses. And then they took the blinkers back off and he just seemed like he relaxed better and ran a bang up race. And then he came back and worked with Sierra Leone, who, we all know, is a nice horse. So I just think he's gearing up for probably one of his best efforts. So he'd be my top choice. The No More Time horse, I don't think they are going to go to the lead, but all that talk about the, you know, He's going to get the lead. I don't think he's going to even try to get the lead. I think that's the intention of all, you know, the whole time. Because if you look, the horse came off the pace two back and, you know, sat three back and sat four back. And I think Rich made a good point. Paco just gets these horses to show speed. And that day, I think, was a little bit inside speed favoring. So I'm against No More Time, even if he gets the lead, which I don't think he will. There's not much else in here really to, you know, I think the bottom horse, Sturdy, maybe, who's a maiden, ran third in a maiden race and might have the highest speed figure in the race, which is kind of strange. I don't know what to think about that. I had the horse run, you know, okay against domestic product two back. So it might be just maybe for me 5-10. I really can't come up with any other angles on any other horses. I'm not a big fan of the one. I know Rich liked the one. Just think he might be outclassed, and I didn't like good money at all. So I thought he was a step below. So I don't know. I'm kind of just going 5-10 and just stick with the two horses that come out of the same race.
Yeah, I mean,
the other I might try to tell you a story about. That Grand Mo horse, I think, is a little bit interesting, maybe based on the trip last time and now second off the layoff and just how well Barboza's been going. Not to win, but as a horse to get a piece or run second to domestic product, I thought was maybe a little interesting if either of you guys are
yeah,
buying
I did actually
there.
Like that horse, but I asked when I was on the phone with Paco's agent, I did ask him, you know, I said, hey, well, why wouldn't you didn't ride this horse? And he said, Paco's been working the horse in the morning. He said he's not ready for this type of race is what he said. So, I mean, it's not like Duke says I like the one and the four. It's not like I like those horses. It's just an angle to like have somebody in. I mean, I'm on the five. That's who I like. I'm just, you know, I just don't want to be a one pony show and just give you one horse. So I'm just trying to, you know, give out some other options. That's all.
It is always interesting too, because I think people have a knee jerk reaction sometimes when they see top trainers send their horses to Tampa and they say, oh, well, you know, they're running for less money, so the horse must not be as good. Well, for one thing, the purses have improved. But for the other thing, I think Rich is right that sometimes they're doing it with a plan in mind. Hey, we'll run in the maiden there. If they like the track, then maybe we have one for the Tampa Bay Derby. Maybe we pick up some Derby points, et cetera, et cetera. So, I mean, I think it's a point worth making in any case. As we round out our discussion of Tampa Bay Derby, I suppose we should give a quick word on the nightcap here, where we've got an allowance race for fillies and mares going a mile and a 16th on the turf, and another very competitive looking race, though morning line wise seems to have it as a bit of a match between the two Irish bred Startup Mentality for Brown and Gaffleone, and the other Chad Brown, Not in a Million Years, a name I kind of like for Erad and Chad. Can we beat the Browns, Rich, in the last race, or do we just have to concede it to the man?
Yeah, I didn't really look too much into this race, but I mean, I don't really have a, you know, too much of an opinion. I mean, I just figured he'd probably use the two Chad Browns and just move on. But I mean, I don't know. Maybe Duke looked at a little more than I did, but I didn't really.
Beyond them, it's hard to come up with, you know, and nothing leapt out. Let's put it that way. Do you see anything potentially clever here, Duke? Because, you know, obviously from a game theory point of view, it feels like everybody will just be using the two Chads. That just makes me want to look for different pools.
Yeah, I don't see too much to beat Chad. I kind of like the two over the three, if that means anything to anybody. I think I might be on the wrong one here. I just think startup mentality. Back on Lasix, I think 12 posts last time, just no trip whatsoever. I just think these are the kind of horses that Tyler Gaffleon seems to win on. He puts horses in position, and I just think he might be ahead of the other one and get first run and might be just a little bit better. It'll probably run 2-3 and probably pay about $6.
Still, if you can split them for your horizontals, I do think it might be worth playing and trying to pick up some of that, equity. So I think it makes sense. All right, guys. Well, appreciate your time here today and all your thoughts on these Tampa races. Godspeed in betting them all tomorrow. And hopefully we'll get to have you guys back on the show very soon.
Sounds good, Pete.
Yeah. You get ready to tee off?
Well, we don't have tee times at Gator Creek, but yeah, I'm sitting in here. That's why it's probably a little bit loud. So I'm sitting in the back corner. I got a couple guests coming out, so we're gonna see. There's not any tee time.
No, you sounded good.
Kind of just slide out whenever you get out. So,
any truth to the rumor that you recently had a hole in one on one of these famous courses?
Spanish Bay. Yep, Spanish Bay out at Pebble. I got a hole in one about a month ago. Every squirrel finds a nut.
That's sweet. Did you treat the bar to a round of a Crown Royal after?
Oh no, I was with a couple buddies and they buried me. I mean, the worst place in the world to get a hole in one is Pebble Beach because it's they absolutely destroyed me. I think the bill just for four people was $3,400. And then I left and somebody ordered some crazy bottle of wine. That place is so expensive. Pebble Beach is a disaster. I mean, it's ridiculous how expensive that place is.
Pebble Beach there, Rich, you know, so getting a hole in one out there is incredible.
What's that? You haven't played it?
That's amazing.
Never played it. No. What's it cost to play?
Really? I don't know. It was all tied into a trip. You know, I don't know. It's like you get four rounds and hotel for, you know, we stayed at the Spanish Bay Inn and it's like four. I don't know. It's not cheap. It's not cheap. Depends on if you want ocean view or forest view, but it's, you know, 8 to 10 dimes for, let's say Tuesday, Wednesday. It's for four or five rounds. It's like 8 to 10,000.
It's good to be you, Rich. It's good to be you. You got horses winning big races, playing some of the most famous golf courses in the world. We're going to have to break out the world's smallest violin that you had to pick up that big check after getting your hole in one. Let me tell you.
Look, it's not all bells and whistles. It's just fake it till you make it.
Guys, I'll let you get on with your days, but I appreciate you very much. For Rich Averill and Duke Matisse, for our friends at Tampa Bay, especially Margot Flynn, I'm Peter Thomas for Natal. May you win all your photos.